Jesus H. Christ, the surgeon yowled. You ripped the sleeve out of my damn shirt. He turned his back on Grant and stamped angrily away. His aides scampered after him, leaving Grant alone in a heap on the floor. Clumsiest damned idiot yet, he heard the surgeon complaining loudly. God damn Claude, Woe's gonna have a stroke when he hears about this one. Reaching for the bed for support, Grant slowly pulled himself back to his feet and propped his rump on the edge of the mattress, panting with exertion. His legs felt as if they were on fire. I'm going to be a cripple, he said to himself. I can't walk. For what seemed like hours, Grant sat on the infirmary bed, his legs aching, his pulse racing with the certainty that his legs had been ruined. I'll be just like Woe, he told himself. I'll be stuck in a power chair for the rest of my life. He even thought he could hear the thin humming whine of a power chair's electric motor. Looking up from his ruined legs, he saw Dr. Woe rolling past the mostly empty infirmary beds toward him. Grant flinched inwardly. But as Woe approached, Grant felt a steely anger flow over him. His fists clenched on the bedsheets, he sat up straighter. He can't scare me, Grant told himself. He can't intimidate me. I don't care what he says. Woe stopped his chair a good 5 meters from Grant's bed. The director looked Grant up and down, from his completely bald head to his electrode-studded, useless legs. I know it is difficult at first, the older man said calmly, almost gently, but we have no time to spare. The IAA inspection team will be here little more than 8 days. Shanghai must be beneath the clouds before they enter this station. Grant shook his head sadly. I know. I understand what you're trying to do, but your legs are physically strong. You can walk. It merely takes a bit of practice to reestablish the nerve pathways. I can't even stand up, Grant said. Yes, you can. I tried. Try again, said Woe softly. Try with me. The director grasped the arms of his power chair and pushed himself to a standing position. There were no braces on his legs, Grant saw. Dr. Woe stood, trembling with the effort.
If I can do it, he said, perspiration breaking out on his upper lip and brow, you can too.
Hardly breathing, his anger forgotten, Grant slid his legs off the bed and stood up. The legs hurt, but he stood erect.
Good, said Woe. Excellent. Now walk to me.
Grant took a tottering step. Woe did the same, holding his arms out as if to balance himself. Another step. Grant's legs felt as if they did not belong to him. He had to consciously tell them to move. Woe stepped shakily toward him, arms extended. Grant walked slowly, hesitantly, feeling like Lazarus rising up from death.
Good, Woe encouraged. Very good.
The director's legs suddenly buckled. As he sagged, Grant reached for him, grabbed him under the arms, and held him up.
Thank you, Woe gasped. Your legs are strong enough to support the two of us.
Grant laughed, and the director even allowed a slight chuckle to escape his lips. Grant helped the older man back into his power chair. Woe sat gratefully, squirming a little to make himself comfortable. Grant stood in front of him, feeling a little shaky, but knowing now that he would not be a cripple. Even the pain seemed lessened.
Very good, Mr. Archer, said Woe, looking up at Grant. Report for intensive training immediately. Shanghai is scheduled for launch in 3 days.
Woe abruptly spun the chair around and rolled out of the infirmary, leaving Grant standing there flabbergasted, not knowing whether to be angry or grateful. For the rest of the day, Lane, Egon, and Muzorawa took turns working with Grant, helping him to learn to walk again. You have to reestablish the neural paths, Karlstad told him, as Grant hung onto his shoulder while they walked slowly along the row of beds in the infirmary. Only two of them were occupied. One of the patients was an engineer whose spacesuit had been slightly ruptured while she was out on the surface of Io. She'd breathed a whiff of sulfur dioxide before the team she was with sealed her suit. The other was a station bean counter being treated for alcoholism. "Get the nerves in your legs that connect with the spinal cord to start talking to each other again," Karlstad coaxed as he helped Grant along. "It takes a day or so." "We don't have a day or so," Grant muttered, perspiring with the effort of trying to walk normally. "Woe wants to launch in 3 days." Karlstad shrugged. "Well, you don't really need to be able to walk once you're immersed in the goo." Lane helped him too, although it troubled Grant to cling to her as they walked together. He closed his eyes and tried to picture Marjorie, but Lane's softly subtle perfume kept his wife's image a confused blur. Mizurawa worked with him all through the night, helpful, non-demanding, patient. He was strong enough to lift Grant and carry him the length of the station's main corridor, Grant knew, yet he only offered as much help as was needed, nothing more. "It's tough," Grant said as he limped past the row of beds. He was walking on his own now. The pain he felt was almost entirely psychosomatic, the infirmary staff assured him. He was making good progress. "Of course it's tough," Mizurawa sympathized, pacing slowly beside Grant. "You must learn to walk all over again. We all had to. I'm pretty slow, aren't I? You are like the centipede in the old story." "Centipede?" "You know, one of the animals in the forest asked the centipede how he can possibly control all those feet. And the centipede replies that it's simple, really. But as he explains how he does it, and he begins thinking about how he controls his 100 little feet, he becomes so confused that he can't walk at all." Grant nodded. "Yes, I remember that from kindergarten. We all learn to walk so early in life that we take it for granted. When we are forced to learn it all over again, we begin to see how much effort it takes." Grant stumbled slightly and reached for one of the empty beds for support. "Four-legged animals don't need to be taught how to walk," Mizurawa said, keeping his hands at his sides as Grant straightened up and resumed pacing. "Human babies crawl on all fours quite naturally. But they must be taught how to walk on their 2 feet. That's a sign that we evolved from four-legged creatures, I believe." "You really think so?" Grant asked. "I am not a biologist, but yes, I believe that is so." "You believe in Darwinian evolution. Does that offend you?" "No," Grant answered truthfully. "I suppose I do, myself." "Suppose?" Mizurawa asked, arching a brow. Grant swiftly changed the subject. "Wish we were in zero G." "That's the irony of it," said Mizurawa. "On the mission, we will be immersed in floating buoyantly. We won't need our legs for walking, not at all." "That's pretty ironic, all right," Grant agreed. Lifting a hand like an ancient seer about to deliver a prophecy, Mizurawa went on. "But our legs will have a different function, a far more important function during the mission." And he smiled, as if remembering something that was beautifully pleasurable. Grant began to realize what Mizurawa was talking about when he began his hurried training sessions in the simulator. Driven by Dr. Woe's increasingly anxious prodding, Grant stumbled from the infirmary to the aquarium, donned a wetsuit and full-face mask, and joined Zeb, Lane, and Egon in the converted fish tank under Krebs' remorseless command. "If she's a zealot," Grant thought as he fumbled his way through the first day's simulations, "she's hiding it very well. She acts as if this mission is her personal quest." "Maybe it is," a voice in his head answered. "If she's seeking some sort of next-world reward by destroying us all, what better way than to be in absolute command of the mission?" Very soon, though, Grant was far too busy to even think about Krebs' true loyalties. She drove them through the simulator session mercilessly, demanding that they go through the entire simulation of disconnecting from the station and entering the Jovian atmosphere without a break. "Stop whining! You'll get no time for relaxation when we are diving into those clouds," Krebs snarled at them. They used the manual controls for the first session. When at last it was finished, Woe told them from his post in the control center, "Tomorrow you will be immersed in work in Shenhe instead of the simulator." "Does that mean we performed okay?" Grant asked from